Friends, I was not here several years ago when a fresh-faced teenager named Aaron Shouls arrived to lead worship here at Bethel. But friends, I've heard the stories. How old is he again? Was an oft-repeated refrain. Does he shave yet? Was bantered about. Oh, Lordy, how those women in the choir are going to mother him to death. Indeed, as the congregation was assured that Aaron did, in fact, have a driver's license, we began to simply settle into the growing and blessed realization that the words of the prophet Isaiah were, in fact, coming to life in our midst, and a little child shall lead them. Of course, Aaron Shouls was no little child when he came to us. But you get the point. What Aaron may have lacked in facial hair as a precocious teenager, and let's be honest, Aaron, you still do. He has more than made up for it with prodigious talent. You may have come to us as a young man, but you also have come to us with a maturity of spirit, a maturity of faith, and a giftedness that is indeed beyond your years, which has blessed Bethel from day one. In your time with us, Aaron, we have witnessed how you have grown. You are now 22. You've gone to a Redskins game and drunken beer with the pastor. You've become a musical kindred spirit with Miss Darlene. You've suffered in anguish, as all religious professionals should and are bound to do on occasion, the night before Christmas Eve, trying to get that darn organ to sound worthy of your playing. You've vacationed and, I've heard, gotten in trouble with Keith and Reese Snellgrove. And as of Friday, you have skydived. Yes, friends, I think it is fair to say that baby is all grown up. And in what can only be described as bittersweet, Aaron, your growth as both a man and a talent is leading you down a path away from us. And while we say this with collective tears in our eyes, we could not be happier or more excited for you and for your future. Because Aaron, you may have grown up with us. The growth is not just yours. Because of you and because of what you have brought to Bethel, each and every one of us has grown too. Through the beautiful liturgy that you have written, we have worshiped with grace. Through the amazing anthems that you have authored, we have sung praises with joy. Through your creative arrangements of the familiar, we have been lifted up. And through your channeling of Billy Joel, baby, we have indeed felt the Spirit. So thank you. Thank you for enriching our lives in worship and in friendship. And please know that wherever your path leads, you will always have a home here at Bethel with us. Because, Aaron, you may have come to us a boy, but make no mistake, you are the man. Thank you. Well, I guess I have to preach now, huh? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for these moments and for this time together. And especially thank you for Aaron and his witness among us. He is indeed a gift, and we are so very thankful for all that he is and all that he has become in our midst. Bless us and bless this time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, who knows you? who truly knows you. I would imagine that people in your lives will, to some degree or another, know a part of you, some indeed more than others. The degree to which others know you is partially predicated on how they know you. In a sense, we all know Aaron. We know that he has wonderful music ability. We know that he is pursuing education in film scoring. And we now know that he skydives with his crazy friend Langston. Most probably, you all know me, if simply because I am the guy behind the pulpit most weeks. And indeed, I know many, if not most of you, even if that simply means that I can remember your name and your face. Still, the degree to which others know you is mostly predicated on how much you trust another or others to know about you. This is why when someone that we have trusted lets us down, we often remark, "I thought that I knew them." But in a sense, what we are really saying is, "I thought that they knew me." And if they really did know me, how could they have done this? You know, don't you? We all do. That it can be truly agonizing to trust someone with something so meaningful, so sacred as yourself, your dreams, your foibles even, only to have that trust crumble away in a moment. This may be why we only truly come to know a handful of people, and only a handful of people truly come to know us. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus only had 12 named disciples. And of those, only three, Peter, James, and John, seem to inhabit the innermost circle of our Lord. I find it interesting that Jesus only asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" I find this interesting because I believe it shares something of the humanness of Jesus. As we heard from our reading in Jeremiah today, we heard those famous words, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." We hear here of the omnipotence of God in its fullest form, that God knows us, truly knows us, even before we are born. Yet God in the flesh, in choosing his disciples, and through the many stories of his sharing with them in private, are we perhaps seeing the human side of Jesus, who, like us, is searching, learning who he can trust with who he is? And could this not be yet one more example that the God of all, the creator of life and breath, truly does know you? That the God of the cosmos actually knows, exactly like you do, the struggle of knowing who to trust with your very being. And what then could it mean for you that those whom Jesus trusts spectacularly let him down? Could it say to you, yet again, that God knows you not only from the womb, but God also knows you from your wounds? Could it be that the betrayal of trust that Jesus encounters only further cements the real life shared experience of suffering and hurt and crushing frustration that we ourselves have known? Yes, what kind of God can say that they know us, except for a God who truly knows what it's like to feel broken, abandoned, cut off from those whom he trusted? When Jesus cries in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Is Jesus not also crying, my God, I thought that they knew me?" Such is the heartbreak, the unsettling reality of broken trust. And God knows this just as painfully as we do. Still, I'm not sure if anything gives greater hope or greater peace. For this is the only way for God to truly know you. And friends, it is the only way for you to truly know God. In the cross, Jesus experienced the worst that this world has to offer. Betrayal, humiliation, torture, and death. Stunning, really, that Jesus was willing to go there to get that real with us, to in effect share that much of himself, of his very being, that to share that much of God with us. You want to talk about trust? Can it really be that God trusts this world enough to live with us, to live it all, to share it all? For a moment, think about the people who you know most deeply. Those who know you most passionately. Those who you trust most sincerely and completely. Those who are willing to love you for who you are, despite your blemishes, despite your brokenness. And in doing so, strengthen you in your living so that you may come to see how truly special that you are. How cherished are they in your life? Well, friends, they are a gift, because in them you have glimpsed the face of God. But whereas you and I only trust a select few, could it really be that this God of ours trusts all of us this much? Could it be that the God of Noah, who promises never to abandon us, trusts you that much? Could it be that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who keeps his promise to bring a nation about who will be a blessing to the world, could it be that this God trusts you that much? Could it be that the God of Moses, whose singular act of freeing the enslaved Hebrews promises the hope of new life to those who are in any kind of bondage, could it be that the God of Moses trusts you that much? Could it be that the God of Rahab and Ruth and Esther, who empowers those who are oppressed and on the margins, trusts you that much? Could it be that the God of David, who chooses the imperfect and the unimpressive and instills in them great faith, trusts you that much? Could it be that the God of Isaiah, who brings hope to the hopeless, that the God of Jeremiah, who knows us fully from the womb, and the God of Jonah, whose compassion and mercy extends to all people, could it be that the God of Jonah and Jeremiah and Isaiah trusts you that much? Could it really be? What kind of God would do that? What kind of God would dare reveal that much? Are you kidding? How could you ever respond to that? In Jesus' name, amen.